I have a few questions of my own, and my apologies if my questions reveal that I haven't fully understood some of the explanations you've already given to us, and if I end up repeating things. On the issue of enforced disappearance, reference was made to the fact that Section 22 of the Military Justice Code establishes a minimum of 14 days, and we've already been having a conversation about what that means. And one member of the delegation made the comment that said minimum should be scrapped or eliminated, if I understood correctly, that there should be no minimum sentencing. It seems to me that we are getting closer to an understanding of what is contained in the Military Justice Code, but the interpretation of the view of the committee is that it should be regular civilian courts that try cases of enforced disappearances. We don't want necessarily to get sidetracked with this whole issue of military justice. But given that it has been raised, I think I would ask a direct question. When members of the armed forces or the security forces are prosecuted, are they prosecuted under the civilian criminal code or under the military justice code? Picking up on one of the points made by Ms. Kolakovic, it seems to me that on this issue of children and minors, particularly children who escape from places of protection or leave those protection places or shelters between 16 and 17, what does that mean for them practically? Have they been neglected, abandoned by the state, who is not actually looking for them, not seeking to address this issue that they have left an institution? They're still 16, 17, they're still minors, but I'm not clear as to what happens to them next. Are they abandoned, or is there a search activity until you know that they're in another country, etc.? Is there some kind of oversight as to what happens to them next? Because they seem to lack any type of protection or oversight in that interim stage until they suddenly reappear somewhere else. Finally, reference was made to a policy, if I understood you correctly, a policy aimed at indigenous peoples and national minorities, an assimilation policy, if I understood you correctly, or that is the overall thrust of the policy. And in that context, I would like to draw your attention to the Declaration of September of 2017 on Original Peoples, which recognizes the right of original or indigenous peoples to non-discrimination. You'll find that in Article 2, and in Article 4 of that declaration, you will find that they have the right to self-determination. Those rights are spelled out in that declaration. And this concept of assimilation in a broader culture would imply failure to recognize and uphold their own culture and their right to pursue and live according to their own culture. And that leads me to my question to you. What is the overall vision held by the government of Norway with regard to assimilation? How do you interpret and understand assimilation of indigenous peoples, the Tata, the Romani, etc.? Thank you very much.
Merci.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ravena. Mr. Matadiop, you have the floor. Thank you.